It's just one verse, and Pastor Chris is going to tell us why just one verse. Okay, so hear God's word. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel would boast against me. My own strength has saved me." Well, with that, very interesting verse. I'd like to give our time to Pastor Chris Liu.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It is, good to see you guys here. Glad you guys are worshiping with us. Happy 4th of July weekend. I'm wearing my American Pride colors here, red, white, and blue. Hope you guys had a good one. Before I get into the sermon, I wanted to touch really briefly on the things that have just passed. It's not working. I did not switch it. All right. So as you guys know, last week, the Supreme Court passed this law for gay marriage, and the result of that caused a lot of commotion, I guess, or a lot of conversation, a lot of people talking, a lot of people posting a lot of things on Facebook. And I know as Christians, this is a big point. A lot of people have a lot of views on this. And whether you agree or disagree with the ruling, I think one thing is clear is that a good thing for Christians, at least, is that it has made a lot of people think. And it made a lot of people think about their faith and what do they believe, you know, and having these conversations. And I think that is a good thing. I wanted to share kind of my thoughts on this as one of the pastors here at Canaan. I thought this is important to do so. I also wanted to let you know that Canaan, the Pastor Sue, our senior pastor, has invited us pastors and the elders to come together to talk about this. You know, how does Canaan view this, and how are we going to, you know, respond? And because it is a big deal, and it is something important to talk about. And so we're going to meet up on Tuesday, and so if you guys would be praying for us, that'd be great, that we'd have a good conversation, and we'd be able to kind of discuss all points of views and try to, you know, come up with, hey, what is Canaan's stance on this? You know, how are we, you know, going to respond? What actions are we going to take because of the ruling? And so please do pray for us. But anyways, this is what I wanted to share. This has nothing really to do with my message, but it is important again, and so I wanted to share my thoughts. And I'm going to keep it pretty simple, I think, and pretty hopefully straightforward. First of all, I believe that God loves everyone. Okay, God loves you, whatever your sexual orientation, heterosexual, homosexual, what race, gender, even if you don't believe in God, even if they're atheist, even if you hate God, you're against God, he still loves you. God loves everyone. That is the gospel message, that God loves everyone. Okay, and so it doesn't matter where you come from, background, anything. Okay, God loves all of us. Okay, I also believe that everyone is a sinner. Okay, we all have fallen short of God's glory, and we all need a savior. Again, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you're heterosexual, homosexual, whether your orientation, whatever, anything. Again, whether you grew up here or away, we all need God. Okay, we're all fallen people. We all struggle with sin. Okay, even as Christians, we still struggle with sin. Right, that still doesn't go away. And so I believe that we all struggle with that. One of the things I believe that we also all struggle with is with our sexuality. Okay, and the Bible talks about this a lot. Talks about, hey, we need to flee sexual immorality or live sexual pure lives. Okay, we are sexual beings. God has created us that way. And so we're all going to struggle with that. And a part of that struggle is our lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, right? Pornography. It could be premarital sex. It can be adultery. It could be affairs. And including in that, I believe, is homosexual actions. Okay, I think those is also God is saying those are all sinful. Okay, so we all struggle with these things. And so I believe that that is something that we all need. Okay? So that's regarding that. Regarding marriage between homosexuals or not, I believe that God in the beginning created man and woman to be partners, okay, in the Garden of Eden. When Adam was alone and he had no one, God could have given him anything. He could have made an animal to be his, you know, partner or whatever it is. He could have done that. He did not. He chose to make woman out of man, and they were to be one. And so I believe that the original design is for man and woman. Okay, so that's my take on all these things. Now, the thing that I think is important for us today and how we move kind of forward is, how are we going to have these conversations, hopefully, with the LGBT community? And how are we, as a church, you know, be able to have those things, those dialogues? It's hard because I know it's a lot more complicated than just, you know, the basic gospel message. I know that's one thing, but there's, you know, laws and stuff like that, and, you know, as America, church and state, and there's a lot of things. It's pretty complicated. But how do we have this conversation? And I think that is important for us to have. Not a debate, not where we just come and just argue with one another and just point our fingers, because I think people get really defensive, right? People start backing off, and we can't get anywhere, right? But how do we have these conversations? Because it is important. How do we share with them our love and yet also stand firm in what we believe to be truth, at least for myself, right? That's my take. And so how do we do those things, right? And I think we need to have these conversations. One kind of a cool article I did read, people were posting all these different ones, was one from Huffington Post, and it was this guy on the left here, or my right, Shane Wiedermeyer and Dan Cathy. And Shane is a gay man. He's the founder and director of Campus Pride, which is does a lot of promotion for he's a gay activist, right, for the campus ministry, or their ministry of, you know, promoting gay lifestyle. And on my left or your left there, Dan Cathy, he's the president of Chick-fil-A. And if you guys know, Chick-fil-A is a Christian company, if you would. They're closed on Sundays, and they came out publicly saying that they oppose gay marriage. And because of that, a lot of people were very angry with Chick-fil-A, and they wanted to, like, you know, ban them and, you know, fight against them and all these things. But what's kind of cool is Dan Cathy, he reached out to Shane, and they had, you know, this one-hour conversation. And at first, this is written from Shane's point of view, too, from Huffington Post, if you guys want to read it. And he was saying he was afraid. He was like, is he going to just attack me? What is he going to do? But they had a good conversation. And basically, they were trying to understand both sides. And Dan Cathy was trying to figure out, why were you guys so upset about, you know, what we're doing, our company, and stuff like that. And they had this good conversation about, hey, well, not just about gay marriage, but, you know, a lot of the money that you guys allocate to these foundations that are really anti, you know, gay and all these things. And so, you know, through many, many conversations, they actually became good friends with one another. And I think that's kind of a thing that they can do. This is a picture taken before the one of the bowl games. Chick-fil-A held one of the college bowl games this past year, and he invited them out, and they spent, you know, this day together. And I think that is, you know, what we as Christians need to be able to engage in this way, that, hey, you know, that we can have these conversations, we can understand one another. And Shane was saying, hey, I'm not changing my point of view. He's not changing his point of view in terms of, you know, gay marriage. But, hey, they can still kind of, again, engage and get to know, again, what each other is thinking. And so I think that's important. I think that's important for us as a church to be able to have that and have that conversation, and hopefully that they would be able to see, you know, our love for them and God's love for them through that. And so I know it's tricky. Again, I think there's a lot more to it, and I don't have all the answers, but again, if you would like, you know, conversations more about this, you can talk to me and Pastor Tim, I'm sure, afterwards. And again, please pray for our church and our leadership, again, as we talk about that. Okay, so I just wanted to throw that out there, because I think this is important, and I wanted to give my two cents, I guess, if you would. But let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to get into today's message. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, I just want to thank you again just for all that you're doing here at Canaan, all that you're doing here in the world. And I just pray that you would continue to help us as believers to really learn how to stand firm in our faith and yet also not be judgmental to those who don't believe the same things we believe in. I pray that you'd help us as Christians just to really show your love and what that looks like, and how we can really, yeah, stand firm in what we believe, but also, yeah, have those conversations. So I just pray you'd continue to help us and to guide us. And you pray for our leadership, Canaan, as we continue to talk about the decision that was made last week. And, that you would be the one that we are obeying and listening to your voice, that we would hear. And so, continue just to guide us. Bless this time as we get into your word as well, that you'd open up our minds, our hearts, to the message of truth that you want us to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, if you guys notice, I actually changed my sermon title. In the bulletins, it says, All for God's Glory. And after working through it, I changed it to When God Calls. And we're going to look at this story. So we are in the book of Judges. But before I get there, let me tell you a little bit about myself. Back in 2000, the year 2000, my dad became a pastor at this church called EFC Irvine in Irvine. And at that time, their youth leader was about to leave. They're moving away. And so my dad, as he was going to be the new senior pastor there, he asked my sister and I, hey, would you be okay, be willing to lead the youth group? And we had never done this before, and we were living in San Diego at that time, and we're like, well, it's kind of far. But, you know, it was over the summer, and we're like, okay, if you guys need it, we'll go ahead and try. And so this is a picture much later, but here's us. I'm right there, my sister's right there, and yeah, anyways, Irvine group. But I remember that first time that we went, and we did this whole lesson with the youth group, and the response was pretty, like, there wasn't much response. I led worship, and they didn't really sing the songs. We did games, and they played, but they wasn't very excited. We did a lesson, and they just kind of stared at us. And we left, leaving, going like, oh my gosh, what do we get ourselves into? This is going to be horrible. No kids are going to show up next week. It's going to be like, you know, only like the elders' kids, and that'd be it, right? And that was our thought. But we went back the next week, and the kids were there, and we went back the next week, and the kids continued to come out, and it was kind of cool. We were able to work with them, and it was actually through that summer in the year 2000 that God called me to go into full-time ministry. Before that, I didn't want to, or I wasn't thinking about it. It wasn't on my radar. I wanted to go into film, into movies, and stuff like that. Was what I was interested in, into media. But God called me elsewhere, and he called me to go into ministry. It was a scary thing. I had to pray about it and really be like, you know, is this really God, what you wanted me to do? But 15 years later, here I am still doing ministry, still working with youth group, and I think God has confirmed that call for me, that this is what he desires. I believe that God is calling us every day, okay? For some of us, it is maybe something big like your life, like what are you going to do with your life? You know, and God is calling you that way. But every day, he is calling us to do something, and I believe that's the case. Maybe it's not something so big like that, but you know, he presses on our hearts certain things that we should do, certain people that we should meet up, certain things we should pray for, what to do, how to live our life. I think God is working, right? The Holy Spirit is working. And he continues to kind of challenge us to, hey, are we listening to God's call? And he brings us through different things. Some calls are kind of easy for us, like, hey, I get that, I hear it very clearly. Some calls are kind of ambiguous, and we might be like, are you sure, God? That's from us. That's from you. And what we see here in the book of Judges and the story of Gideon is God calling Gideon to do something kind of crazy. And we started last week with that. Pastor Tim kind of started with the first part of Gideon's life. So let me do a quick review, okay, of where we are at. We talked about judges and how judges, they follow the sin cycle of obeying God and then following away from God. And then because of their disobedience, they get enslaved. And then they cry out to God, and God frees them brings up a judge that kind of frees them. And they fall into this sin cycle again and time and time again. Okay, and so here we are in Judges, and chapter 6 and 7, we see the story of Gideon. And the Israelites right now, they're hiding. All right, they're afraid. They are hiding in the hills. They're hiding in the caves. Because this group called the Midianites were raiding them all the time. Okay, so they used to live in the nice, you know, lush land where they can farm and stuff like that. But because the Midianites were attacking them and raiding them, they had to flee. So they're gonna go. They're running away. They're hiding in the hills. They're hiding in the caves, and they're afraid that the Midianites keep trying to attack them. When we first meet Gideon, we see that he's threshing wheat in a wine press, and he's hiding there, and he's trying to kind of do this secretly, this little threshing his wheat. And God calls him and he sends an angel and says, "Hey, Gideon, I'm going to use you to do something kind of cool. Right? I'm going to use you to raise up your people, right? The Israelites. You guys are going to not be oppressed by the Midianites anymore." Gideon had a lot of doubt. He had a lot of fears, okay, and so he questioned God. We talked about that last week, and eventually he had this fleece thing where he asked God, "Hey, if it's really you, you know, make the fleece wet at night, everything around you dry." And God did that. And he's like, "Let me flip that around. Let me make the fleece dry and everything around me wet." And God did that. And so God shows himself, said, "Hey, I'm real. Okay, this is really my calling. I'm telling you to go do this." Okay, and so Gideon does that. And so here we are, we're in chapter 7. If you guys have your Bibles, you guys can open up there. And let me go through the story really quickly, and then we'll pull some truths, hopefully, out of this, okay? So we're in Judges chapter 7. So what we see here is God has said, "Okay, Gideon, you're going to go, you're going to defeat the Midianites," okay? So Gideon gathers the troops, his troops and people, and if we see he has 32,000 troops, okay, a lot of people. And God says, no, in the verse that we read, "No, these are too many people. Too many people. I want you to cut down your numbers." And so Gideon's like, "All right, all those who are afraid, you guys can go home." Okay? And so a bunch of people left, 10,000 were left, right? So 10,000 people remain. Okay? And so they're like, all right, 10,000 is pretty good. And God says, "No, that's still too many people. All right. Instead, this is what I want you to do. Go down to the riverbank, okay? And we're gonna do this, right? We're gonna do a little test here. Those people who drink water, lapping on their fours like a dog. So they got on their fours and they're lapping water like a dog. Those people get to go home, right? And those people who are kneeling and they have one hand and they're drinking from like bringing it up to their mouth, those people can stay." And that ended up to be 300 people. Now, just really quick side note, why did God do that? Okay, there's two different reasons, or people have commentaries have said two different things. One reason is maybe God wanted to get rid of those who are afraid, like those people who weren't aware, right? Those people who are just kind of drinking water like dogs, lapping it up. Like, it's like, all right, those people aren't like really good soldiers, right? They're just kind of like unaware of their surroundings, and so they could go. Another view, actually flipping on it, says that those are actually the people who were so like confident that they didn't care, and so God wanted to get rid of those people, and the people who were drinking were the ones who were afraid, and so God wanted to keep those who were afraid. So I don't know. There's two different kind of views on that. I kind of do the first one, where I think God's more like I wanted to keep like soldiers around. But anyway, so he does that. So they're down to 300 people, and the next day we see that they raid the camp. The next night they raid the camp, and God gives them victory. Okay, they win this victory over him. So let's break down this story a little bit more. And there's three things that I want us to see today. Okay, and the first thing I want us to see in the story, and we'll get into a little bit more detail, is that God oftentimes will call us and ask us to do something that's a little bit strange. Okay, some things that sometimes it doesn't make sense to us, right? What is he trying to do? And sometimes he does that. And we see this in the story of Gideon. If you guys read Judges chapter 7, verse 12 here, it says, "And the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east lay along the valley like locusts in abundance, and their camels were without number as the sand that is on the seashore in abundance." So we see the enemy that Gideon was facing. Okay, the Amalekites and the Midianites, these are two groups of people that they're trying to get rid of, and they had a lot of people. Okay, their numbers were so much, their camels were more than the sands. They had a huge, huge army. Okay, so obviously, if you're trying to go into battle, you would say, "I'm going to bring as many people as I can into battle against this large army," right? And so it's very odd, right, that we see and we read here that that the people took provisions and trumpets and it ended up with 300 people, right? God cut down the numbers instead of making them more. He says, "No, I only want 300 people instead of your 32,000 that you had," okay? And so God does something a little bit odd, okay? Another thing that we see in the story that's kind of odd is, okay, so yeah, a bunch of people left. Another thing that we see that's kind of odd is this. In Judges chapter 7, 16 to 20, it says, "And he divided them, the 300 men, into three companies and put trumpets into the hands of all of them in empty jars with torches inside the jars. And he said to them, 'Look at me and do likewise. When I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then blow the trumpets also on every side of the camp and shout, for the Lord and for Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp, and in the beginning of the middle of the watch, when they had just set watch, they blew their trumpets and smashed their jars that were in their hands, and three companies blew their trumpets and broke the jars. They held in their left hands the torches and in their right hands the trumpets to blow, and they cried out, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." What is odd about that is that God asked these people to go into battle with trumpets, with empty jars, and with torches. Not swords, even though they said for the sword, they didn't have any swords. They just blew a trumpet, they smashed jars, and they ran and yelled, like, "Ah, for God and for Gideon." Like, what kind of a battle plan is that, right? Like, if I was one of the soldiers, like, all I have is a sword and a little torch here and jars, I'm going to break jars and that's it, and yell, right? Like, what kind of a battle plan is that? But God did this, right? Something very odd, called him to do that. And what happened was, if we actually read it, God was the one who did it, who caused the people into chaos. And the camp members, the Amalekites and the Midianites, they actually got up and started killing each other, and they were confused. And other people just fled, right? So God actually delivered victory for them, or brought them victory, just with torches, with jars, and with trumpets, and yelling. Okay? So sometimes I think that God does this. He does unexpected things. He calls us into these unexpected situations where we think it should be one way and it's not, and it's different. And we're like, huh? Like, what? Are you sure, God, that you really want me to do this? I often think about those who God calls to full-time mission work. They often, you know, a lot of times it's a big change, right? You're giving up the comforts of your home, your comforts of your stable job. You know, you're going to a faraway land where possibly, you know, you don't know anyone, and it's weird. And sometimes people don't get it. Like, why would you do that? You know, why would you leave all these things and go and become a missionary, right? A full-time missionary. And yet God does that. He calls people to do kind of things that seem a little different, you know, seem a little like, I'm not too sure about, right? I've heard of stories as well where, you know, like missionaries would give away like their money that they need for like rent or whatever, right? And they like give it to, you know, the community or whatever it is. But then, you know, last minute, right before their rent needs to become, you know, some unexpected donor gives them just enough that they need, and God provides. But it's kind of cool. God sometimes calls people to do these things that people don't get. And he might be calling you to do something possibly that you don't understand. Okay? I don't know if it is a full-time mission work. Possibly not. But it could look like a lot of different things. Right? Maybe it's sharing your faith with somebody. Maybe it's sharing your faith not just with your coworkers, but with your boss. You know, maybe that might be weird. Like, he's my boss, you know, and I'm going to share my faith with my boss. Or maybe it's a parent, or, you know, like a grandparent, or some relative who, quote-unquote, authority over you, you know, has a higher status or whatever. But God might be pressing on your heart to go and share your faith with somebody, with a stranger, with your neighbors, with a person, you know, who, you know, yeah, your classmate, or whatever it is. And it might feel really strange, really awkward, you know, like, God, why are you calling me to do this? And yet God is pressing, if he is pressing on your heart to do that, to be obedient to that and say, hey, okay, this might feel awkward, but I'm going to do it because I trust in you, God. God, I think, sometimes also calls us, maybe it's just calling us to something where it's just kind of uncertain, right? Giving up something that we think is precious to us, right? And sometimes I think that's something God might be saying, hey, you know what? Maybe it is needing to get rid of something. And a couple weeks ago, Pastor Tim preached about, like not living with Wi-Fi for like, you know, a week or something, right? And that might seem like something so precious to us, and like, I can't let that go. You know, I need this, right? I need whatever that is, you know. But maybe God is saying, hey, give me that. Give me whatever it is that you're holding on to so tightly. You might think that you need it. You might think that you know, you can't live without it, but I want to give you something greater. I want to give you something more. I want to show you. I want to show up and say, hey, this is how I'm going to work. All right, so sometimes God will do that. Okay, and that's kind of the first point that I want us to see today, is God will call us into situations that he will bring up things that seem awkward, seem confusing, seem things that we don't get, we don't understand why, doesn't make sense to us in our eyes, but God does it for a purpose, right? There is a reason for that. Another thing that I think we see is that God uses those who are afraid. Okay, and Gideon, in his story, if we really look at him, he was pretty afraid. He was hiding again during that time, trying to thresh his little wheat. He was afraid when God called him to do to become a leader. He kept questioning him and like, are you sure it's me? Right? He had the whole fleece thing. Even the bold thing that he did, which was very bold and brave, to cut down the false gods. He did it at night, right? He did it in the cover when no one can see him because he was afraid. It says that he was afraid of his family, that they would disown him or be angry with him, and so he did it at nighttime. And so he was very afraid. He had a lot of doubts. He had questions like, I don't know, God, if you really call the right person. And yet God did that. He used him. He wanted to use him in that way. Let's go ahead and see another passage. Also him doubting here. Even after God had confirmed this, right? This is what God says. That same night the Lord said to him, this is before the battle. He says, arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purda, your servant, and you shall hear what they say, and afterwards your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Then he went down to Pura with his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were at the camp. He was afraid. Right? God says, if you're afraid, take your servant, go down. He's like, I'm afraid. I'm going to take my servant and go down. But he was afraid. But it was cool. If you guys read it, he goes down and hears this one of the enemy, the Amalekites. This guy has this dream, this vision that Gideon is going to like overthrow them, and so that they had this dream, and so Gideon was strengthened by that dream. But anyways, God will sometimes again use those who are afraid, who doubt. Why are we afraid? Okay, why are we afraid when God calls us? I think there's a couple of reasons why we tend to fear when God calls us into do something. One, I think we fear failure. Okay, I think as Asians, a lot of us are perfectionistic. I'm not. I actually have failed many times. And so I'm more okay with failure. But I think a lot of us, not used to it, maybe always top of the class, always getting into those straight A's, always on top, doing everything has to be perfect. And so we're afraid to fail, right? And we've been pressed and pushed since a young age to always have to be perfect, and better than perfect. And sometimes when it comes to God, I think same thing, we're like afraid. I don't want to do this because I'm going to fail. I can't go into whatever God you're calling me to do because I'm afraid to fail. All right? But God is saying, hey, you know what? It's okay to fail. Again, I can use failures. He does that all the time. And he's encouraging us to do that. Another reason why I think we fear is we fear that we aren't ready. I think that's a lot of the big question. I don't know if I have the tools, the skills to be able to do this. I don't know about any of that. Also, maybe my past, I've done all this bad stuff. God, can you really use someone like me? We kind of come up with all these excuses, but kind of a quote similar to the quote about God qualifying the called, the same thing, but God does not call the equipped, he equips the called. And then another little thing, broken crayons still called. God still uses people who are broken, who have messed up, who might not seem like you have all the skills. Right, and I don't know, I'm not a seminarian, I can't go and tell other people about God. God can still use your experiences, use those things, okay? So just because you don't feel like you're ready, sometimes God's pushing you because he wants to show you, again, how great he is, and we'll talk about that later. Another thing I think we fear is we fear the unknown, right? We fear that, hey, this is just so out there, and I don't know what to expect, right? It is unknown, so I'm afraid. What's going to happen? Right? Am I going to fail? Are people going to not like me? If I try to share my faith with somebody, are they going to, just make fun of me? And then we don't know. We don't know what that outcome comes. And so, we like our comfort. We like what we have here. And so we just kind of stick to that. And we're afraid to kind of go out and see what God can do through us. There's a lot of opportunities that God might be pushing you guys to serve in that you might be afraid of. A lot of places where we need help in serving around the church. Maybe it's with children's ministry, we bring this up a lot. The children's ministry has needs, and maybe it is that, I don't like kids, and I can't work well with kids, but maybe God is saying, hey, that's a good place for you to go and, get, trust in me more. Maybe it is, so VBS is coming up, we need help still with that. If you have some time, we're looking for servants, again, maybe going to a short-term mission trip. Maybe it is, again, sharing your faith. Whatever these things are that we're kind of afraid of, God is kind of calling us to do. Don't be afraid. Why shouldn't we be afraid? I believe that God always provides. He provides those, if he calls you to do it, God's going to provide for you. Okay? God is going to provide for you. Like I said earlier, I've been doing ministry for 15 years, and this is just this year. This is our youth group currently. And for 15 years that I've done ministry, it's always cool. I've always seen God's provision for me in terms of counselors. I have never gone a year where I had to do it on my own. And I know that's, actually, I'm very blessed. I think there's a lot of, like, pastors and a lot of youth people who, they have to do everything themselves, right? And they don't have that good team and support around them. But every year, I always get, like, people who just randomly step up and serve. Even for Arthur and Vicky, who are our current counselors, I never expected Arthur to serve. He wasn't on my radar when 4 years ago, when I first was looking for counselors, because Jeremy was stepping out and Tim and Fran were stepping out. And so I had no one. I was like, oh, I'm going to be on my own. I don't know who am I going to ask, you know. And then Arthur was the one who actually approached me. And he's like, yeah, you know, I'm kind of interested in serving. I was like, really? Okay, great. You know, let's see what we can do here. And they've been so faithful. I'm so thankful for them, him and Vicky, who have done a great job with the youth group. And but God always provides. I think he does. And just a quick plug, I'm looking for more help. If you guys are interested in serving in youth ministry, in junior high, and high school ministry, come talk to me. But I believe that God will provide. You know, that he always has. He always has been good to me. And I think that's a trust that we can have, that, hey, if God is calling you to do something, he's going to provide for you. Okay? And you don't have to be afraid of that. So, again, sometimes we're confused. God calls us into something where we're confused. We don't know why he does that. He does it. Sometimes he calls us to, when we're afraid, and he can use those who are afraid, which is great. Those who are imperfect, he uses those. And the last thing, why God does all this, okay, and this is the original title, is all for the glory of God. Okay, all of this is for God's glory. And this is the verse that Pastor Tim read for us. Again, the Lord said to Gideon, the people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me. And then the verse that I kind of mentioned also, this is when they attacked, right? When they blew the 300 trumpets, the Lord, he's the one, the Lord sent the man's sword against his comrade and against all the army. And so God was the one who did it. Gideon didn't do much. He just kind of gathered the troops. He obeyed. He did what God called him to do, which is to attack with torches and jars and trumpets. But God was the one who really is the one moving. And I think that's a good reminder for all of us that, hey, you know what? Even when we do something good for God, even when we're serving for God, it's not about us. Okay? And God's the one that uses. He doesn't really need to use us. He can do it on his own. But it's cool because he calls us to do it. He wants us to be a part of that so that we can see really how great he is and how amazing he is. A lot of times I think, you know, God for Israelites, God was pointing at their pride. I think that was one thing that these Israelites had. Was, hey, he's like, we don't, you know, if you guys have too many people, you're going to just assume that, hey, we did it on our own. We got it. We did this. And I think for sometimes for us, maybe it's not a pride issue, but it's just that we've been doing everything on our own so long. Again, I think this is a very Asian thing. Our parents, you know, came over from Taiwan or from wherever, and they only had two bags, and they had to work so hard, and they built, you know, they did it on their own. And we kind of instilled that into us, that, hey, just do it on your own. Work hard, you know, trust in your own skills, and, you know, you can do it on your own. I think that's kind of in us. And sometimes we come to that, and, you know, with our faith, too, it's like, you know what? If I'm not a believer, I don't need God because I've done everything on my own. Or even if I am a believer, sometimes it's like, you know what? God, I don't need you. I can do it on my own. Like, I've done it before, right? And God is continuing to, I think, remind us that, hey, you know, I'm the one who works. I'm the one who deserves, you know, to be known. And that's the second thing that I kind of want us to see is, you know, the purpose of this is for him to be known. Okay, we do all of these things for God's glory. We do all these things so that people around may see him. Not me, not us, right? But they may see God and what he has done. And I think that's throughout all the Bible. That is constantly what God's desire is again, drawing people to him. Do you know me? Do you know me? Right? I want to be in this relationship with you. You know, Israelites, you know, serve me in such a way so that people will know, you know, who I am. Jesus says that, you know, to disciples as well. You got to love in a different way so that people will know that you have a relationship with me, right? As Christians today, everything points back to our relationship with God. Okay? So I hope that's the encouragement that I have to you. So again, quick recap, okay? God calls us to do something. Sometimes it's confusing. Trust in Him, right? He has a plan. He has a purpose for that. Sometimes we're afraid. Don't be afraid. Again, God's in control. God has His ways, right? God uses everyone, even broken people. And ultimately, we do this all for the glory of God. We do this all so that people can point to Him, can have this relationship with Him, and be able to say, yeah, God, I believe that You are the one who loves me, who came, who died for me, who gave up Your life for me so that I may have eternal life and this relationship with You. And so live that out, okay? In everything that you do, in everything that you say, in your hearts, everything for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank You again just for this time where we can get into Your Word. We thank You for the story of Gideon, that You use someone like him who had a lot of fears, a lot of doubts, and yet, you use them to do something great for Your glory so that people may come to know how big, how powerful, how amazing You are. And I pray that would be our lives as well, that we would continue to live this life for You so that You would get the glory, that as we interact with people, as we have conversations about You, about what we're learning, that everything will point back to You so that they may come to know You and this relationship that You want with them. We thank You again. Continue just to bless the rest of today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.